Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our second reading today, God has so much love and mercy upon his people. Our first reading, God's anger was so enkindled to the point that there was no remedy. How can these two readings stand side by side? After all, the different readings that we have every single weekend, they are very carefully chosen by Holy Mother Church to help us get a clear picture of what God is doing in salvation history. And so these two do stand perfectly side by side. The problem is we struggle to understand this, because here we're looking at the two great virtues of justice and of mercy. In our minds, it's really hard to reconcile the two of those, because it almost seems like justice is that thing that's there that we need to deal with, but mercy is, of course, the one virtue that we all want and we're all striving for and we wish to receive. But that's a really bad misunderstanding, because they're both virtues, and every virtue is beautiful and holy and good. For virtue is that which is given to us to direct us toward the good. So just as much as mercy is a virtue that we desire, so is justice. But do we understand that? Do we see that? Do we see how they work together? I'll be the first to admit, I really struggle with this a lot. And over the past week, as I was on retreat, this was actually the main focus of my retreat. It was on mercy, but you can't understand mercy without justice. The two are intimately connected. So I spent all week with our Lord just grappling with this issue. And before we go any further, I will fully admit, this is just going to be a start to the conversation. In no way, shape, or form are we going to walk out today fully understanding this, because God is infinitely just and infinitely merciful. We are finite. We can only understand this to a certain degree. It's going to take most of the rest of our lives to really unpack this, because sometimes it's hard to see the difference between the two. The virtues, they blend together so beautifully. When you grow in one, you grow in the other. So much so that they almost seem to be the same thing. Take, for example, our first reading. I quoted the very clearly justice side of things, that God's anger was so enkindled that it was just, that it was poured upon the world. But what came before that? Early and often, God sent his messengers to his people to inform them of the goodness that he has planned. It's very easy to look at that and say, "Oh, look, mercy." Well, is it mercy? Or is that justice? For what is justice? Justice is rendering unto someone what is due to them. And so I always like to bring out this idea of love. Can we look at God and say, "God, you owe me love"? The gut reaction is, no, absolutely not. In one sense, that's a good response. We never want to be prideful about this. Be like, oh, you owe me something. But think about a parent to their child. A newborn is born into this world, and it is completely helpless. It can do nothing on its own. In fact, it's really kind of annoying for the first couple of years of its life. All it does is just wants and begs and just gimme, 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 gimme. And yet in justice, that parent owes love to their child. Not because of what the child has done, but because of who the child is. That this is the fruit of the love between two people. A love that's so powerful that new life came forth. And it is right and just that a parent would love its child. And so God is our loving Father. And his love is so powerful, it's so generative, that we came forth into existence. We came to live in this life. And so it is right and just for God to love us. And that's where our first reading begins. To see how early and often God gave his love to us. Early and often, God desired to bring us into his embrace. But then when that love is abused, that's when justice takes a turn that maybe we don't like it quite so much. For as he sent his messengers, as he sent his prophets, as he gave them a faith to follow, and it was mocked more and more and more, it was rejected time and time again. Well, at a certain point, that justice turns. And again, go back to a parent and their child. The parents, they love their children, they encourage them, they push them in the right direction, but at a certain point, that gentleness might need to come to an end. And there might need to be a little something to snap them out of whatever tantrum they're in or whatever way of thinking they have that's not good for them. And so again, out of love, the parent corrects their child, calls them to higher. And here's the possibility where justice can all of a sudden run off and no longer become a virtue. That if that justice becomes an unholy wrath, where the parent just brings upon their child just all of that emotion, all of that anger, and there is no end to it, well, that's where mercy fits perfectly with justice. For mercy makes sure that justice never becomes something unholy. That it steps in and says, don't forget, this is your beloved. This is the one who you are called to care for, to bring up in the faith, to bring up in this life, to be able to live a good, holy, and wholesome life. And so mercy is that extending of good favor beyond what is due to them. For if we provoke justice so much so that there is no more remedy whatsoever, well, then it never ends. So mercy steps in to temper that, to make sure that love is always at the center of everything. But here's the catch. Mercy is never going to step into our lives so much so that justice ceases to be a virtue. We've also seen this with parenting on the other end of the spectrum, where there is no justice whatsoever, where it's been lost, where it's no longer that virtue. And all the parent does is just sit there and just very quietly, very gently, oh no, you're not supposed to do that, as a child is stabbing their sibling with a fork. At a certain point, mercy can temper justice so much so that it's no longer virtuous. And that's where the two fit perfectly together. And we want to see these two working together. For when we experience the difficult side of love, it's easy to attribute that to just justice and forget that there's mercy in correction as well. And that is what's happening in our first reading today. What's being reiterated in our second reading. That God does love us, that he does visit his mercy upon us at all times. And that's why, even as God's people are being punished for their actions, even as they are being called to live a higher way, God immediately puts in place a plan to bring them back to where they should have been before. And notice what he does. He says that this punishment will continue for 70 years, but that's not just an arbitrary number. He says this is so that those Sabbaths that are lost can be reclaimed. The punishment that's being brought upon humanity is put in the context of the Sabbath day of rest, a reminder of our dignity. That for 6 days we are called to work, but on that seventh day we are called to be like God, to take a day of rest, to remember our dignity, our glory, what it is that we are made for. In this time of the Old Testament, the people had lost that. They lost their dignity. And God said, yes, this is going to hurt, but in it you will remember who you are made to be. A beloved son or daughter of the Father. Not a beast of burden to work perpetually in this life and eventually die, but to live for the glory that we are given. So the labors that we do can be sanctified, can be elevated, can be brought to something more. And so we look upon our world today, and we can't just look at our own lives in isolation. We are one human family. And so our actions all affect each other. How well does our world respect the Sabbath day? How well does our world respect the prophets that are sent into the world today? How well does our world respect the holy temples that God has given to us? If we look at a large scale, it gets a little scary. In many ways, humanity is begging for God's justice to be poured upon this earth. And in different ways, we see it from time to time. And so if our actions beg this, it will come. But what about mercy? It's still there, waiting to be poured upon the world. As Jesus came to St. Faustina and he shared this great message of mercy, he said that my mercy is like an ocean that's just waiting to be poured upon humanity. And so it's our job to call for mercy to be given, first and foremost on ourselves. By going to that font of mercy, by going to confession, by letting our souls be washed clean. So that then we can look upon others with that purity of heart in the way that God sees them and ask for them that mercy be poured upon them as well. For how much easier can a soul come back to God when it experiences the warmth of his mercy tied perfectly with the justice of the love that he wants to give. It's much faster, but much harder to receive that when justice is the very clear front runner, that difficulty that's poured into our lives. We are called to be children of the light, children of mercy, ones who are always looking for this, always begging for it, and that's why we rejoice today. Halfway through this Lenten season, maybe we're a little bit tired of it. Maybe we're ready for Easter to come. But sorry, folks, there's a couple more weeks to go. And so let us root ourselves in why we're doing these sacrifices, why we're offering these prayers, to beg God's mercy upon the world. And that truly is something to rejoice in. How blessed we are to be invited into this. And so we ask for the grace today to persevere, to always keep our eyes on that mercy that he wants to pour into the world. For when we understand it perfectly, all of a sudden, we see that justice is something which is equally desirable because our lives are in union with that of God, and our hearts are then open to receive the countless graces he wants to give. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.